I'm Mark Smith. Joining me this morning by phone is U.S. Senator John Bozeman. Good morning, Senator.
Hey, Mark. Thanks so much, as always, for having us.
Good to have you with us. Just on NPR just now, they were talking about the FISA court. The court was charged with overseeing secret programs by the NSA and other organizations. Of course, these revelations of these secret programs by the NSA have led to a nationwide debate over security versus privacy, and there's a wide variety of opinions on these issues right now.
There is a wide variety, and I think it's a really good debate to have. I think it's also good, you know, this has made it such that the individual congressman is understanding exactly what's going on, which, you know, that sounds kind of strange that they don't, but these are things that the briefings are very, very secret, and only a few, you know, that really know exactly what's going on. So now this is forced situation where more of us are able to learn some of the details, the specific details that you've just known in generality. So it's really, you know, the balance is how do you protect the country, protect the nation, you know, from attack, and yet, you know, maintain the civil liberties that we in America have always championed, especially in the state of Arkansas.
It's a really tough balancing act there to determine how much of these secret programs are really necessary, that they prevented terrorist acts, but then to prevent them from going too far and invading privacy of citizens who are law-abiding.
It is, and you see, you know, when government has great authority, like they do with the IRS, to delve into, collect our taxes, we expect that to be done on a fair and even hand, and this is not a partisan thing at all. It doesn't matter who the administration is. We saw it with Nixon. We've seen it overreach through the years. Things just have to be held in check. And when you give agencies tremendous power, and sometimes, you know, you have to do that, but they do have to be reined in, and you have to make sure that you don't have mission creep where they interpret laws that were supposed to be fairly restrictive into a much more greater framework.
What about this so-called whistleblower who's now fled the country? It's a big debate over whether he should be looked at as a hero or a traitor and whether he should be brought back to the U.S. and prosecuted.
Well, I'm a guy that really believes that, you know, you need to get the facts, understand what's going on. I think he needs to be held accountable, and it remains to be seen exactly, you know, what he said is true and not true and things, but I don't think we really understand why he's done this, the extent of the knowledge that he's released to others. And so, again, I think he needs to be held accountable. Now, he might at some point be exonerated, but he certainly needs to be, you know, the same as any other. And, when you get into these jobs, you do swear an oath to do certain things. And so, he appears to have not done that. And so, you know, there's a price to be paid for that. So we'll have to go forward with the process and give him a fair shake. But at this point, I don't think we exactly know what his status is. But I'm concerned when you, certainly when you divulge secrets, that's a serious thing.
Well, some other international situations going on. We need to look at a new president in Iran now. He's said to be a moderate. Are there any hopes for improved relations with Iran?
You know, I don't think so. I hope that there is, and we're working really hard, you know, to go the diplomatic route and all of those things. It seems that the reality is that all of the power in that particular system, that particular form of government, lies with the mullahs and the religious authorities. So, you know, and yet it is a good sign that the Iranian people themselves essentially voted for the candidate that the ruling religious leaders, the mullahs, this was on the bottom of their list.
U.S. is also, of course, President Obama's been at the G8 summit and discussing options in Syria, another very, very concerning situation there, including we're talking about the possibility of arming Syrian rebels or setting up and enforcing a no-fly zone in Syria to restrict the government forces' ability to strike at the rebellion. Dicey situation there with lots of countries involved in this, Russia, Iran, and Iraq. Virtually the whole region there has a stake in the outcome of this conflict.
It's a difficult situation, and I guess at this point I'm very reluctant to see us get very involved in the sense of arming the rebels and certainly in the no-fly zone. Syria has sophisticated anti-aircraft capability, and the idea of our folks getting shot down over there, I just don't think that's appropriate. In regard to arming the rebels, you simply don't know who you're arming. When you look at the Libya situation, that has deteriorated now. Libya is a mess. And then also the heavy weapons that were taken out of them now have really destabilized areas of northern Africa. So I think we need to do all we can from a diplomatic standpoint. America has tremendous leverage economically on the region, but I would be real hesitant to get involved directly.
Here in Congress, we got the immigration reform bill. I believe, voted against proceeding with debate on that. Why were you opposed to debating that bill?
Well, I think the underlying bill is just not a good bill at all. And, you know, we had the mantra as we went into Obamacare, well, we got to do something. No, you don't have to do something. You have to do the right thing. And my concern with the bill is that the border security simply isn't there. And so I think that needs to be done. I'd really like to see this thing done incrementally, where you do the border. Many of the people, 40% of the people here illegally, have overstayed their visas. Now, we've got to fix it where we have a check-in and a check-out system, get that under control, hold employers accountable. I'd much rather, and again, this is so critical to our farmers and things, getting the labor that they need. I'd much rather see a very strong visa program where people can come, they can work, they can leave, go back at will. Again, because they have a visa that allows them to do that, rather than basically getting ourselves in a situation where everybody immediately shortly is going to be eligible for benefits leading to citizenship in a time that we're really struggling providing the benefits to the citizens that we have. Right now, we naturalize 1 million people a year, more than all of the rest of the countries put together. We can be very proud of that, but we do have to be very, very careful. This is far-reaching, and it needs to be done in such a way that it protects the American worker.
Well, this bill is going to go to debate. What do you see happening to this bill? I'm assuming there will be lots of amendments to it.
There's going to be a lot of amendments, and again, you know, the hope is, and I think that the process will be one where the amendments are allowed, and that's a good thing. So we'll have to wait and see, you know, what the final outcome, is of the bill once it's cleaned up. And then, certainly the House is going to have to do something and then ultimately get it to conference and see what happens.
I noticed Senator Pryor's co-sponsoring an amendment that would offer border security jobs to veterans. What do you think about that bill?
You know, anything we can do to support our veterans, I'm very supportive of. To be honest, I haven't talked to him specifically about that yet, but will. But yeah, anything we can do to make it such that the men and women returning, the unemployment rate among our veterans now is high. Anything that we can do to be supportive, and certainly, those individuals would be a natural for the border type of security.
The Student Loan Affordability Act would have prevented the doubling of interest rates on student loans. If I'm not mistaken, you voted against that. Why was the reason for that vote?
Well, I did. What they did, the Democratic alternative or the Democratic bill was, it was such that it would extend the current situation for 2 years, and then you'd have to go through all this again. What we did was come up with an alternative that would really allow students to take advantage of the low interest rates that we have now and then lock in these rates forever. Or not forever, but, you know, for 20, 30 years so that they would have the ability to pay them off. And so that would take advantage. Right now, the Treasury rate is at 1.75%, you know, a historical low, very, very low. And then this would charge them 3% above that, so they could lock in the 4.75% rate on all of the student loans. That would be something I think that would be very worthwhile. Give some finality and let them take advantage of the low interest rates like everybody else is doing in the housing market and things like that.
What's the status of the proposals on this right now?
I think that ultimately there will be a lot of negotiation, and you know, nobody wants to see the student rates go up to the over 6%. And so I think that I know that there's a lot of negotiations going on now, and hopefully we'll get this worked out in the very, very near future.
Well, the Senate passed a farm bill. Of course, we've been working on this for a long time. What's next with this bill?
The farm bill, you know, we passed it in the Senate, which was good. The House now is going to have it on the floor. You know, they'll be debating it, amending it, and I think very shortly we'll get it passed in the House of Representatives, and then it'll go to conference, and the differences between the House and the Senate, worked out. This is so important. It's not only important for the state of Arkansas, but it's important for the whole country. Our farmers need to have the finality of understanding what the rules are going to be for the next 5 years so that they can make long-term decisions, buy the equipment that they need, and all of this will stimulate the economy and create more jobs.
Well, do you think there are going to be a lot of differences between the House and Senate bills, a lot of negotiation to work out?
The big differences, I think, will be in the nutrition program. You know, most of the farm bill, we think of the farm bill in terms of farmers, but about 80% of it has to do with the nutrition bill, SNAP, and things like that. Only 20% has to do with anything to do with farmers. So the big difference will be in that 80%. The House, I think, will be pretty aggressive about trying to reform the programs and save some money in that area. The Senate was not aggressive at all. And so that's really where the sticking point will be, is to trying to work that out. I think most of the people in Arkansas would like real reform, but you don't want to impact the people that need it. And so that will be, the discussion that goes on over the next couple months.
One thing I've been curious about is, does that bill have to be this way? Can the farm programs themselves be separated out from the nutrition programs?
Yes, sir, they could. You know, again, Congress can do whatever they want. Traditionally, because farmers produce it and things, they've mm-hmm. pushed it together. And then, too, these are things that you try and mold a constituency together so that you have support, to actually get the things done. And so this is how it's evolved over the years, and there is an effort now to look at that, see if that's appropriate as we go forward in the future. Right now we're kind of, stuck with that situation. It is what it is, and so we need to move forward and get a farm bill passed.
Yeah, it's such a huge piece of legislation. It's very difficult to get everyone to agree on everything in such a bill.
It is, and yet there's so much in it. You have lots of people that are interested in various parts. And so because of that, if you can, work out something that everybody can live with, then at the end of the day, you have a lot of support for the final bill.
We've had a really interesting year weather-wise here in Arkansas. We had kind of unseasonably cold weather that extended well into the spring. And then we had some pleasant spring-like weather well into June, some rains, and then hot summer weather just hit this week. Any reports on how our ag producers are doing this year?
My understanding is that the crops were a little bit late getting in and things, but I think everything now is kind of evened out and that they're going forward, and hopefully we'll have a great growing season with plenty of moisture. Certainly in some parts of Arkansas, that was a real problem. You know, we've had these swings, as you say. One year we have tremendous flooding, record flooding. The Mississippi's is almost a record high. And then a year or so later, you have the opposite situation where the Mississippi's is unnavigable in some places because it's so low. So we pray that our farmers this year will have some stability and that they'll be able to produce the crops that they need. But that's just part of farming. You know, you can't predict the weather, that's for sure.
We appreciate your time talking with us today.
Well, thank you so much, as always, for having me. I enjoyed it.
Senator John Bozeman joining us from his office in Washington. You're listening to Morning Edition on KASU.